If you're able, please remain steady and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's epistle to the church in Corinth, chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. So, people of God, here is the word of your God. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Father, we do pray that you open our eyes to see wonderful things concerning you in this passage. For us, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Not to belabor a point too much, but today is Kaylee's last day with us as member of this church. In a couple of weeks, October 10th, Robbie is going to be shipping out to basic training. And upon conclusion of that and of some more of advanced training, then Kaya will be leaving to join her husband somewhere in the world at that point. Not sure exactly where. So I asked myself, what is the best encouragement that I could give to someone who is starting a new phase of his or her life away from us? Someone who has grown with us, as the case of Kaylee and Kaya, someone who we've grown to love very much, as well as the case of Robbie. How can I encourage them? What's the best thing I can tell them? I concluded that the best thing I could do was to encourage them to serve the Lord, their God, in this new stage of their life. To jump both feet into serving God for Christ's sake, whatever the Lord takes them. And that's really something that all of us need to hear. That we are to serve the Lord our God and to do it wholeheartedly, wherever the Lord takes us. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, those were the words of Joshua to the people of God as they prepared to settle into the promised land. For the longest time, God was visibly present among the Israelites. Remember, they had spent 40 years in the wilderness, and now they may have been in the promised land now for 10 to 15 years. And all the while, the Lord had been visibly present with them. He had that pillar of fire by day, and that column of the very distinct column of smoke column of fire by night, and a smoke stack by day, leading them. Now that they are going to be dispersed in the promised land, the presence of the Lord is not going to be that physical. The presence of the Lord will be more of a spiritual presence than the physical one, and they can still go to the tabernacle. And by going to the tabernacle, they see the heaviness of the presence of the Lord in the Shekinah, the very glory of the Lord there. But everyday life is going to happen away from the tabernacle. They're going to be spread throughout the land. and it will take a stronger commitment to stay faithful to the Lord. So their leader stands before them in Joshua and says, you must decide, serve the false gods of the land or serve the true God who brought us out of Egypt. Joshua says, I have already decided. I am serving the true God. And that is a decision that we all have to make. You and I cannot go about life with a divided heart. Whom will you serve? That's a decision that you cannot get away from. There's no third neutral option. There's no possibility of I don't know, I'll decide later. You either are going to serve the true God of the Bible or you're not. And that's it. There's no other option. So whom will you serve? Here today, anywhere the Lord takes you. And that brings us to what serving the Lord truly is. And that's going to be the rest of our sermon, what it means to serve the Lord. And that is made of two things, two important considerations that we think about serving the Lord. And the first may be a little counterintuitive. The first is this: you cannot serve God without first being served by Jesus. You cannot serve God without first being served by Jesus. Jesus summarizes his ministry in several ways in the Bible. But a particular way that he likes summarizing his ministry is found, among other places, in Mark 10, verse 45, where the Lord says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And that is nowhere clearer than in John 13, when the Lord of the universe, the creator of all things, the one who by the word of whose power the tiniest molecules stay together, robed himself as if he were a servant, lowered him down, and washed his disciples' feet. Remember the episode Peter said, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus says, in essence, if you are not served by me, you cannot serve me. So at the outset, unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't serve God. There's no other way to serve God except through faith in Jesus Christ. If you're piling on things in your list of things that you've done to serve God, and at the bottom of that pile, at the foundation, at the source of all that, is not your faith in Jesus Christ, then you're not serving God at all. Because none of us are able to serve God. We are all wicked people. We all have gone astray. We are not righteous. There's none of us who is righteous. As a matter of fact, it was when we were still enemies of God that Christ died for us. And he lived the life that you and I cannot live, a life of perfection, so that by faith in him, that life is counted as ours. And we are served by him in that way. But not only that, he also took care of the wrath of God that was due us. People of God, and particularly those of you who don't believe in Jesus, don't buy this idea that God loves you. Without Jesus Christ, his wrath is upon you. Without faith in Jesus Christ, that's the only thing left for you, is the infinite, eternal wrath of God to be poured upon you for all eternity. But in Jesus Christ, he loves his people. And through faith in him, you become his people. And instead of experiencing his wrath, you experience eternal love and fellowship with God. God is not okay with a sinner who decides to remain a sinner apart from Jesus Christ. But he loves those who believe in his Son. And that's the beginning of choosing, of serving God. So when you have to answer the question, whom will I serve? The first part of the answer is that I will serve God by being served by Jesus. That is, by believing that he is my Savior, that apart from him, I cannot come before God. Being ransomed, as Jesus says in Mark 10, 45, redeemed, purchased, saved by Jesus Christ is at the root of serving him. if we haven't drunk deeply at the well of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we are not able to serve him. So that's the first part. The second part of serving God is that we must serve God, we must see serving God by serving others as a gift. I often find myself with a very poor attitude in serving others. Okay, I guess I'm supposed to do that. You know, they need my help, and they have never done anything for me, but I guess I'll go do something for them. You know, no. And you laugh because I think that's very relatable, right? I mean, that's very, very relatable. Why do I have that attitude? Well, because I'm not seeing serving God by serving others a gift, a good gift that comes from God himself. People of God, God has already given us the best gift of all. Look at verse 3 of chapter 12. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have called Jesus our Lord are only doing that because God has given us his Spirit. That's the best gift. Remember in Luke 11, it's also in Matthew, where Jesus says, compares our Father in heaven to our earthly fathers. He says, hey, your earthly father, if you ask him for bread, will he give you a scorpion? Or if you ask him for meat, will he give you a stone? If you, your earthly fathers, being sinful, know how to good give gifts, how much more your Father in heaven? And he's given you the gift of his Spirit to prepare you to serve. The best gift is given to us. God gives perfect gifts to his people, and these gifts may differ from one person to another. We're not all given wealth. We're all not given health. We're all not given families. We're all not given fulfilling careers, and you can add to the list. But all God's people are given one identical gift, the best gift he has to give us. We are all given his Holy Spirit. God Almighty dwells in us. It is through this Spirit that Jesus is with us. It is through the Spirit that we are and can know that we are friends, the bride, the children of God. As Romans 8:15-16 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit of God is an eternal gift who keeps on giving gifts to the church in order to, for the church as the body of Christ to serve God. And the basis of chapter 12 of the whole of the scriptures is that we serve because we're given the Holy Spirit. A characteristic of one who has been indwelt by the Spirit is service to others in the name of Christ and acknowledging that as a good gift from the Lord. And there are many more gifts. The Holy Spirit is the best gift, but he isn't the only gift that God has for us. God, our God, is full of generosity, kindness, love, and has some more great gifts to lavish on his children, as we see here in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 14. Believer in Jesus Christ, are you convinced that God loves you? He loves you. He loves us. And he gives us gifts to express that love for us, as evidenced by our having the Holy Spirit. Do you notice that these gifts are things that we are to use to serve? Look at verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 4. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversity of ministries, but the same Lord. Do you see the parallelism there? Diversity of gifts and diversity of ministries. The word ministries here is nothing more than the word services, serving. The gifts of God are equated, the gifts from the Holy Spirit are equated with serving. God gives us gifts so that we can serve. So if one has the gift of teaching, God has given you that gift of teaching, the unwrapping of that gift will mean doing some Bible teaching. If one has a gift of helping others, then clearly the way to play with that gift is to help others. In other words, being able to serve in the ways you do is a good gift from your Father. Being able to serve others is a good gift from your Father. What we sometimes think of as chores to be done, the Father actually thinks of them as gifts to be unwrapped. And that is how we should see the opportunities to serve in the body of Christ. The question remains, though, do we really believe that these are actually good gifts? Think of the area of Christian service you feel most burdened by. And when I mean burdened by, I don't mean have an extreme desire to do it, but actually burdened by. Like to do that is carrying a burden, like folding the bulletin. That's an area of ministry that and the burden has been lifted by some sisters who have been doing that for us lately. Or think of an area of ministry in Christian service that you dislike, naturally dislike the most. Now, it is one thing to say that these gifts are good because they are from God, but how are they good? How are they good? Why should we enjoy unwrapping and using them as much as a child enjoys their Christmas presents? Why? The Lord Jesus, our friend, explains that to us through the Apostle Paul, and it has to do with our unity. God made all of us to use our gifts relationally. He created us so that we could use what he gives us in our relationships. Look at verse 7. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The idea is that God's people are meant to use their Spirit-given gifts to serve the rest of God's people. They create unity, and they depend on unity. One of the reasons we have different gifts from one another is so that we might help one another and rely on one another. God's gifts don't just work by themselves. They rely on the context of the church body. They cut against the individualism of sinful selfishness and make us enjoy being part of Christ's body. So, next time you're using an ability that God has given you to serve someone else, it is worth remembering that the Spirit could have simply given them that time. The Spirit could just given them that money. The Spirit could just given them that upbeat nature. The Spirit could just given them that physical strength or whatever. But the Spirit instead chose to give you that so that you could give it to them. And that creates unity. And that's a display of God's love among us. But not only that, God has given us all these gifts to create unity, but also to enable us to become like Christ. Christ's likeness is not a result of these gifts that God's given us. And as people leave and as we remain, my encouragement is that we allow the Spirit to use these gifts he's given us to the service of others to shape us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps when you read the list of gifts in the Bible, and some of the gifts seem to you to be clearly good presents with and others, not so much. You know, you read all the different lists of gifts and you think, oh man, I want that one. Johnny would really benefit from that one. And then, you know, we think that should go to somewhere else. And some of these gifts I'm fine, but what about contributing to the needs of others? You know, I really find that, I've never heard somebody say that, you know what, God's gift to me is to just live at a very small budget so I can give everything to everybody else. Never really heard anybody personally. I've read about it, but never heard somebody saying, that's my gift. It's not really the one that people want, right? Leadership, teaching, being at the center of things, those are all spiritual things that we desire. Yet, he who gives with liberality is one of the gifts. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness is another gift that the Lord has given to us. We would be fine if the Holy Spirit were giving the gift of healing to us. But evangelism? Who wants that? Go talk to people about Christ who don't believe in Christ and often be made a fool, be considered to be a fool because of that? Yeah, I know other people who can get that gift, but I don't want that one. Now, some of these gifts the Spirit gives us can feel hard to use and even harder to love having them. Maybe you're faced with a gift you are struggling to enjoy, even now. Maybe you're faced with the conviction from the Spirit that it is time to sell your house and build and buy into a cheaper air so that you can be more effective in ministry. Maybe you long to be married and struggle to see singleness as a gift. Now, why should you joyfully use a gift that you didn't ask for? Why should you just be excited about something that God gave you that you never asked for? And now He's telling you, enjoy. Here, it's for you. Why shouldn't you envy the person who has the abilities, the circumstances, the time, the money that you would have chosen if you were given free pick of God's gifts? Well, the answer to these questions is that Christ's gifts are good and enjoyable because they draw us to Him. Christ's gifts are good and enjoyable because they draw us to Him. Christ, through the Spirit, uses the gifts He gives us, especially the ones we think are the hard ones, to draw us to Him. So, spending week after week with children in Sunday school, for example, needing to prepare, dealing with seeming lack of response from them may feel very hard. I mean, I remember when I was a school principal and I spoke in chapel quite often, which I just did this week, and it was middle school chapel, so 6th or 8th graders. And you prepared yourself and you spoke, and there was no clearer picture in my mind of Ezekiel 37 than speaking at Heritage Christian School's chapel. You know what Ezekiel 37 is? It's the Valley of Dry Bones, where everybody just looks dead, and there's nothing going on there, and not even rattling took place in there. And, you know, okay, Lord, is that why that? Why do that? Why teach Sunday school to the 2s and 4s where they can't even look at me, let alone understand what I'm saying? Well, one advantage is that you can teach the same lesson every week, but that's not what you should do there. Why do these things? Well, so Jesus can give you love even for that. Jesus can give you love even for them. He can give you the grace to get on your knees and plead to love them and to love teaching them. And each Sunday, He will stand by you as you show little, chattering, distracted, infuriating children His goodness. And the closeness to Christ won't only be in the Sunday school room. It will be also there when these little, chattering, distracted, infuriating people give testimony to Christ's love as they grow. And that draws us near to Him. If the gift that God's given you feels bad, we need to unwrap it more and see that it is given to draw us to Christ. If we were given gifts that enable us to serve in ways we naturally found easy or fun, we wouldn't learn to depend on Christ, to learn to lean on Christ, to ask Him for help. We need gifts and service that lead us to draw closer to Christ. That is what a naturally unwanted gift can do, as long as we don't look at it and think that God must be cold-hearted in giving us what we didn't ask. Now, in talking to Kaylee, she almost would prefer having, you know, a injection on the forehead than leaving our church. No. She would trade a lot of things for being able to stay here, and she could look at leaving our church as something that is unwelcome and something that to be dreaded. And yet God has given her that opportunity to actually draw her closer to Christ. Not to draw her away from Christ, but to draw her closer to Christ so that she can jump both feet in serving another congregation whom Christ also loves very much. to be an arm of Christ in that congregation. When Robbie leaves for Georgia and is in basic training, God has given that him as a gift as well to serve him there and to serve there, to serve those soldiers with the testimony of Jesus Christ. When Kai has to stay apart from Robbie for a few months early in their marriage, that's an opportunity that Christ has given her to serve him more faithfully and to draw closer to him. And we can see that as good gifts from God and let him have his way with us, or we can buck and resist and not do that. Hard gifts are also good gifts because they make us more like Christ. As we serve, we are conformed, reshaped to the image of the greatest servant of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. So all gifts from the Spirit are good because they draw us to Christ and help us to become like him. And God's gifts are good because there is significance in using them. In other words, there is real meaning and real results in serving Christ in the church. It's not a waste of time and resource. When we use a gift that Jesus gave us for his sake, we are serving him directly. We can do something today that will have literally significance in eternity simply by using an ability or circumstance that Jesus gave you to serve him. Remember the whole parable of the sheep and the goat in Matthew 25? The Lord comes back and he divides the sheep and the goat to one side and to the other. And he tells the sheep, "Blessed be you of my Father, enter into your rest, for you served me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick, you visited me. You gave me what to drink," and so on. And the sheep, the righteous, the servants of Christ say, "I don't ever remember doing that, Lord. When did we do that?" What is the answer? When you serve the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. It was in the little things of serving in the body of Christ, using the gifts that God gave them to serve others, knowing that it was from the hand of God and a good gift, that caused them in eternity to hear, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant." And the greatest thing is that God blesses us for what he did through us. Y'all know Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, right? We could even recite aloud that for grace we've been saved by faith, that not of our own, as a gift from God, lest we should boast, with a few more words in there. But we often don't think of verse 10 a part of it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for what? For good works, prepared for us beforehand. The things we do, the gifts we exercise, is God already working in us, and he blesses us for doing the very things he already did for us. So the purpose of God's gifts of service in this life is our good, and they're good, and they build the body of Christ, and they build us into the image of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, the apostle tells us that God gave the church gifts, pastors, teachers, to equip the body, so that the body then in turn can turn around and equip each other. And together, as we exercise our gifts of serving each other, we grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ. And that's our goal in life. So when you ask yourself, why did God make me this way? Why did God give me these gifts instead of those gifts? The answer is always so that you could be part of building the body of Christ. God made you this way in Jesus Christ so that you could be part of building the body of Christ. God has not made a mistake in gifting you the way he did. He gifted you in such a way that when you use your gift to serve his people for his glory, you are helping Jesus transform his church. You have the gift, all of us have the gift of transformation. You've been called, whatever we are, to be instruments in Jesus' hand in transforming his body to be more like him. Now, one of my favorite Brazilian singers when I was a teenager was a guy by the name of Lulu Santos. He is not a particularly good singer, but I liked his songs. And my favorite song by him had a line that said, "Nada do que foi será do jeito que já foi dia. Tudo passa, tudo sempre passará." And the Brazilian people are ready to sing it with gusto here. A translation into English would be, nothing that was will ever be the same as it was. Everything changes. Everything always changes. So next time Kaylee visits, things will be different. When Robbie comes to visit us, when Kaya comes back to visit us in the future, things will be different. Nothing remains the same. Relationships change. Friendships change. The way we are change. That is true of life, and when we go into a new phase of life, things don't remain the same. When the Lord moves people away from us, things won't be the same. Things change for the people leaving, but things also change for us here. New relationships are formed, old ones change, but one thing remains the same for those who leave and for those of us who stay. We have all been gifted to serve in whatever place the Lord has placed us. And every gift the Lord gives us is good. Not just good, very good. Let us pray together. Father, thank you that you are a loving God who gives your Spirit to us. And only your Spirit, he gives us gifts so that we might serve. We pray that we would enjoy these gifts and use them for your glory. We pray to bless our church as we grow in you, cause us to grow into the likeness of our head, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.